for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday morning service of May the 29th, 1989. Take number 11 of the Memorial Day Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is the teacher for the morning.
I pray, Almighty God, that you would change our heavenly language to a more expressive appreciation of what is in our inner being as we stand before you. God Almighty, we are so inadequate in your presence, yet you have commissioned us to come to your presence boldly. And Almighty God, we quake with trembling fear of joy and rejoicing. We are such humble and frail people, O God. Oh my God, thou art such a great God. Lord, respectfully, we request a portion of your presence to be with us this hour. We could not bear your face in this moment, O God. Lord, we seek to be worthy to enter into your presence and then see your face. Lord, we know the victory is ours through Christ Jesus. But we know, O Lord, you are bringing us into your body. Lord, we groan and we ache from within to be more like you. Draw us near unto you, O God, I pray. Thank you for your long-suffering and patience, for your mercy, O God, for your truth. And now we ask, Almighty God, that you would manifest the gifts of your Holy Spirit amongst us. We pray that the fruit of the Spirit would be ministering amongst us to one another. Oh, Lord, can we please just draw so near to you this morning and walk away from here changed with a confidence as we go into the world to bring your presence there? In Jesus' name we pray. And let's all say together, if we believe it, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Linda Sutter, the Lord would say unto you in this hour that he hath blessed you with many gifts. He hath blessed you with many spiritual blessings. But the Lord is calling you to a higher calling than he has ever placed upon you before. And it is a calling of praise, worship, and adoration unto him. And the Lord is covering with you with a praise. And ye shall be as a dwelling place of praise. And the Lord shall direct your feet. And he shall guide you, and he shall set before you a path. And even though the path doth seem as a dark path, and even though the country and the territory that the Lord will send you to shall be of utter darkness, the Lord shall be as a light shining forth, and thou shalt bring a praise of his glory to the people. And the Lord would say, fret not at the words that thou shalt speak, and even concern yourself not with the ministry of prayer and all of the other gifts, but know this thing, I shall anoint thy praises, and I shall anoint thy worship, and I shall give thee words to sing in the morning, and I shall give thee a worship to sing in the night time, and I shall give thee a song of adoration in the daytime, and thou shalt minister it in the presence of darkness, and darkness shall flee, and my light shall shine upon the land, and the holiness of the Lord shall come forth. And even as the sun doth come forth in the morning, so shall my brightness shine upon the land, for I have given thee a land to conquer for me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. to our brother and sister here, please, if you would stand. Hallelujah. And I'm asking you to stand because the Holy Spirit is directing me and been dealing with me to minister to you since I came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have scripture directed to you, brother, at this time. But first, I have a word for you, sister. And the word is that the Lord is going to set you in a prayer of intercession ministry at this time. And he's going to bring you to an intercessory prayer directed towards the ministry of you and your husband. And the Lord is going to use you as one to stand at his side to lift him up. For the Lord is going to do a thing in your family. And he's going to bring his purity and his holiness into your presence. And the Lord is going to use you to be a source of strength unto your mate. And he's going to be you as one that doth help in the ministry unto him. And you're going to be a lifter up in a time of discouragement. And you're going to be one who is a speaker of encouraging words. And the Lord is not going to use things that you would normally think he would use you in to minister unto him. But he will do it in a most unusual way. And be prepared and hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord would say to you to come aside now and to listen tenderly in your closet. And he'll give you direction. And you'll see that the direction not only guides and is a guiding direction of agreement, but it is also the word of the Lord that will give you wisdom in praying to break down the forces that are coming against what God would have. Hallelujah. And to you, my brother, the Lord has given me two scriptures. And the first scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Before I direct the scriptures to you, Lord, I said, God, I would rather minister to this man alone. And the Lord said, proclaim it unto the heavens. Hallelujah. And the Lord would ask unto you this hour that, do you publicly proclaim that you are willing to serve him at all costs? And that you are willing to surrender to him, and that you're willing to cast off whatever the Lord would say to cast off. Yes. For the Lord has shown me that you are one that is standing in a barrel, and the barrel is covering your nakedness. And the Lord is going to prepare you, and he's going to remove the barrel. And he's going to cover you with the robes of righteousness and a fine linen garment. And the Lord is going to bathe you and cover you and clothe you with the garments of a priest. For the Lord hath called you to a thing. And there are many that don't understand the calling, and even you don't understand the calling, the Lord would say. But yea, the Lord knows the depths of your heart. And the Lord knows the zeal that flows from within, that is an uncontrollable zeal. And the Lord will take this zeal, and he will channel it into the direction. But the Lord says, my son, come unto me and be an obedient one, and lay before me. For yea, I say unto thee, thou shalt follow in my steps and my steps only, and I shall bring thee to that thing. Hallelujah. And the Lord would have these scriptures for you, my brother. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's written in verse 26 and on, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet only once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this world yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the second scripture is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 and on. And it reads as follows, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. And with your permission, brother, I'd like to pray with you. Hallelujah. And I would ask all saints to stand and intercede. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're past the days of playing games with God. We're past the days of flowers and roses. It's time to get things done in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I pray for an anointing for my sister for intercessory prayer.
Yes, Lord, I receive.
Lord, I pray that you would give her tunnel vision towards the ministry that you are going to call her and her husband into. And I pray that you'd give her spiritual ears to hear what you are saying, God, not what anybody else says, but what you are, Lord. I pray that you would give her wisdom and strength to stand tall and strong in a time of great strong winds of the adversary. In Jesus' name, I pray for strength for my sister. Father, I come before you. And Lord, I pray that the mind of Christ would come forth in this man. And I pray for wisdom that would be totally from above. And God, I ask for you to minister with your Holy Spirit to this man, that he might understand the division of soul and spirit asunder. And Father, I pray that you would give him an understanding of the flowing of the body of Christ. And I ask Almighty God that you would give him, along with the wisdom, the ability to express the wisdom under holy guidance. I pray, Lord, that you would help him have strength to surrender his feet, to surrender his hands, to surrender his eyes and his ears and his mouth unto you. Oh, my God, I pray. In Jesus' name, be... Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we will. Let's turn to the Word for a season and let the Holy Spirit move as He would. Hallelujah. I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And We'll try not to be real lengthy this morning. I understand how it is to have thoughts of traveling and so forth and yet wanting to come and feast on the Word and the mixture. So we are asking the Lord to help us set aside the thoughts of travel and to grasp. And I've had to change courses. I wanted to minister on deliverance again this morning. And the Lord has directed me to minister to the callings that you have on your life in functioning in the body of Christ and what the Lord has got to say about that. People, we are not gathered together by chance. It just is not that way. The Holy Spirit of God is drawing us together, and He wants to speak to us this morning. Hallelujah, brother. Oh, how He wants to speak to us this morning. And He wants to steer us and guide us as we go into our paths and into our directions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Numbers chapter 9, or Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 and however far on the Lord would take us, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. Oh, let that ring in your ears. Read that out loud with me, that first part of verse 3. Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. Hallelujah. Okay, the Lord is going to go before us. and he's going to take us to a land. Now, in this land is a land that is possessed by things that are impure, things of darkness, things of unrighteousness. But there is also a territory and a land out there that God is taking you from this place. For we are called to be kings and priests unto God, but we are also to be called to a ministry of reconciliation, and we are called to be priests unto a nation of people. Hallelujah. And we are called to be a light shining in a darkness. And the Lord is going to go before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So the Lord is going to do the work. But look at this next sentence. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. So we must learn to be active. We must learn to have a working system within us. We must learn to understand that the body of Christ is not a body that lays down and plays dead and does no thing. We must learn that submission is action. We must learn that submitting to the authority and the power of Jesus Christ is not laying down and let Satan walk all over where he desires. But instead, submission is waiting before the Lord to hear the voice of the Lord telling us where to march and which land to go in and which enemy to drive out. Now, if we study the battles of the Israelites, there's something that stands out so precious and so beautifully. When Israel went to battle under the voice of the Lord and obeyed the battle command and the battle process of the Lord, they never lost. But every time Israel went to battle and they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, or they went ahead and did it because they thought they should go to battle, they were wiped out and defeated. And they ended up in captivity for a season until they cried out for forgiveness, or they ended up losing many, or they went back into their position in a place of retreat and they cried out to God. It is the same way with you and I functioning in the body of Christ. We need to get a glimpse of this fact. We are representing the consuming fire of Jesus Christ. We are baptized with fire. Fire consumes, fire destroys, and fire brings light. And as we bring the presence of Christ that lives within us into a place of darkness, the place of darkness is such that it does not want to be exposed. And the Lord will send us where He wants us to send us to drive out the enemy. And whether they want to be exposed or not, they are going to be exposed. But it is God going before us and saying, as the Holy Spirit leads, this is the way. Go ye in it. Hallelujah. We need to have that basic understanding as we go forth in the body of Christ and as we go forth as an individual. Okay. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Hallelujah. It's very hard not to throw the whole kitchen sink in on this. But we'll skim over and ask for holy guidance. I find a couple of things about the ministry of the body of Christ. Number one, there are very few people who are born again, saved. And actually, by when I use that terminology, there are very few people who truly see God, because that's what born again is. You have that intimate knowledge with God. And with that intimate knowledge comes a crying out that I want to be more like you. Okay? But they are a floundering people. They know that God has called them to something. I was in that place, and many times I still end up in that place. And we come to a point where, God, there's more. But I don't understand. I don't really fit with this body of believers that I'm in. And God, I'm hungry for more. And I'm not getting fed the way I should. But Lord, where can I go get fed? There doesn't seem to be anybody feeding. And Lord, I know I can't stay home. The Word says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's a dangerous thing to do in these last days. And don't you dare fall into that trap. And Lord, just what do you expect of me and how do you want to use me? Yeah. And it is a necessary thing for us to be driven to that point in Christ. Because as the pressing comes in, we become like Jesus Christ in Gethsemane. And we come to a point where we cross over the brook Kedron. And we come to that place of pressing in. And we cry out as Jesus did, "Oh, Father, I realize that this is a cup that you want me to drink." But we don't even know the cup that we're to drink of until we come into Gethsemane, which is the place of pressing in unto God. And as we come into that place of pressing in unto God, we realize the cup is greater than we can ever handle. And we say, "Oh, God, take this cup from me. Oh, if it were possible, oh, God." And then in the Gethsemane, there also comes a breaking. And we realize, "Father, I'm not going to do it my way. I can't do it. Hallelujah, not my will, but thine be done, but thine be done, but thine be done." Hallelujah. So you see, God is pressing a people in this hour into "not my will, but thine be done." And all of these meetings, in one way or another, we can call them Jezebel spirits, we can call them crucifying the flesh, they all work together towards one thing. It's the perfecting of the body of Christ to function at the command and the will of the Commander-in-Chief, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Let's back up. Start with verse 12 every time that happens to me. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now, I'm drawing your attention to that, not to get into the discussion of the 10 kings and so on and so forth, but for this purpose. I want you to see that there is a ruling authority of kings, and they have power, and they are active in a specific period of time called an hour, which would indicate that God is directing them to a specific small period of time to do something. When he narrows it down to 1 hour, it means that he is bringing things together to come to a climax. Okay? He doesn't say in those days, in that day. He brings it down now to the hour, the short day. And look at what they are in verse 13. "These have one mind." Now, these are the ones with the beast. "And they give their power and their strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb." Now, these individuals are completely sold out unto the system of the world, of this social system, which is under the authority of Satan. And they bear the image and the likeness of the 3 sixes. And they have sold out their mind. They have sold out their works by whether it's a physical, literal mark. I don't want to get into all of that, but I know what it stands for. And I know that it means a selling out of the body, soul, and spirit unto the authority of the king of this world, the prince and power of the air, Satan. And these people have sold out to him in such a way that they are willing to do no matter what he says. Now, conditions in the world have caused them to sell out because they have been forced to put their faith in trust in something, because they have lost control of their ability to function as an individual. And their ability to function as an individual has been taken away from them due to pressing conditions. It could be due to famine. It could be due to rule. It could be due to a great money problem, which it's going to be, and so on and so forth. But all of these conditions have come together, and they've tried to escape to their local churches, and they've gone to their local churches, and they're not getting the answers that they need. The power of God is not there to overcome the evil one. And so they escape to drugs and alcohol. And drugs and alcohol provide an escape mechanism, but it destroys you. In Lamentations chapter 3, if you read that, you'll see the depths of horrors of walking under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And you don't know where you can turn. You've been lied to by the evil one. And you think that you're crying out, "I'm going to find peace, I'm going to find safety there." But instead you find utter destruction and turmoil. And those are those people who are ripe and ready to fall under the authority of the system of this world. Oh my God, don't let that happen to you. Learn to trust in God only. Hallelujah. Now notice that they make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Who is the Lamb? John proclaimed what? Behold the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And notice that the Lamb of God is proclaimed here because it is the nature of the Lamb that they're expressing and they're attacking. It is a meekness nature. It is a nature that is a humble nature. But it is a nature that is not one that will lay down and play dead. It is a survivalist nature. It is an absolute authoritative nature. But you see, when Jesus laid down his life, he portrayed the nature of the Lamb. For he was spat upon. He was kicked. And you know the story of the crucifixion. He was beaten beyond recognition. There's some very effective preachers out that they can get you so that you won't eat for 2 days when they describe how Jesus probably looked. But yet he didn't strike back, did he? He didn't open his mouth and speak a word. Jesus washed the feet of the one that betrayed him, and he knew he was going to betray him, and yet he ministered unto him. That's the nature of the Lamb. That's the nature of Christ in you and Christ in me. And it is this nature that the Satan is going to attack, because it appears to Satan to be a vulnerability point. And in the natural, it would be a very weak point. In the system of this world, that would be a good place to attack. And so the Lord's strength is made perfect in our weakness as a principle. And we see the authority of the Lamb, hallelujah, coming forth and ministering in perfect love. And love covers a multitude of sin. We see, I don't want to take this out of context, but I want you to get a principle. You see, God is a nature and spirit of love. And love hates anything that comes against it. Love is absolutely unbendable towards anything that is anti-love. Therefore, the very nature of Christ is going to minister forth with the force of love that is going to destroy the works of the evil one. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of things, but it's really easy to get caught up in ban the bomb and do all these social things that we think are right, and become activists. But the nature of Jesus Christ is to recognize that we're in spiritual warfare and to attack the works of the enemy under Holy Spirit-led actions with the nature of a Lamb, crying out to God in spirit warfare. So the enemy attacks the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. I don't see me overcoming them. I am an overcomer, but I don't see me overcoming the enemy. But I see the authority of the nature of Christ coming forth. And I see that nature. And Jesus said in Deuteronomy, we just read it, where he was going to go forth. And he was going to paralyze the enemy. And his fire was going to consume the enemy. And that's the picture that we must understand of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And then the word goes on to say, the description of the Lamb. For he is Lord of lords. Now, isn't it grand when we can sit here and praise the Lord and say, you're Lord of lords. Hallelujah. One of our brothers was preaching, and how often I think of this, be careful what you sing. The kids sing a song, be careful what you say, little whatever it is. Be careful what you do, little something or another. And I thought, boy, be careful what you sing, Buster. Be careful what you sing. You see, I don't know if I've ever shared this here or not, but doesn't matter. I'll share it again because the Lord is ministering it to me. There was a time when I was incarcerated and I was released. And once you've been released, you really don't ever want to go back. It's not a pleasant place to be, is it, brother? I got saved. Had a powerful conversion. Ran all over the city of Rockford, Illinois. Got on TV. I just did a number. And visited every church in Rockford and told them they needed to come to our church and get saved, and did all kinds of obnoxious things. As a result, the Lord, in fact, we even have, it wasn't us, but the evangelist we were saved under, and myself and another person had a TV program for one night, and it was a call-in show, and it preempted Johnny Carson, and they jammed the phone lines. So they asked to come back and do it again, and they added extra phone lines. And the interviewer, Brian Rudd, can tell this much better, but the interviewer got so under conviction that the second show he went out and got half-tanked so he could come in and handle the pressure. The power of God was so strong. And there was a real moving of God at that time. But anyhow, to go on with the story, and be careful what you say, and pray and praise. I was praying one day, and I knew that the Lord was going to fulfill the ministry we were called to. And I said, you know, Lord, I'd like to be as great as Paul. And within 48 hours, I was behind bars on three charges facing 90-some years. And none of the charges were true. And I remember these two individuals, they were big, they were mean, and they were serving time for murder, and I had to share the cell with them. And I remember calling Mom, she was a cook in the Christian day school, and call her and say, honey, I don't know where you're going to get the money, but get me out of here. And I remember dropping to my knees, and I didn't care what those fellas did to me then. I just said, God, I just want to be half as great as Paul. Just half as great as Paul. There's no way I want to be. So you see, we need to be careful what we pray. Oh, let's go on. But truly, we need to recognize, and we are going to be brought as a people to realize that He is the master of us. That we can confess with our mouth that He is truly the Lord of my life. And as I confess it with my mouth, I walk it with my feet. And I am surrendered unto God with my members. And the words that come forth from my mouth are holy and anointed words. That's what it is to recognize Him as Lord of Lords. And then to recognize Him as King of Kings. And that's why He's training us to hear His voice in this day. To be the King of Kings in my life. It sounds so good to sing it to Him. But it means that I have to submit to His authority and recognize that He is the King of heaven things. That supernatural place. And I'm not living in supernatural place yet. And that means that I may have to live without a pillow or a place to lay my head. Or it means I may have a sickness and I need to bring it unto God and have the faith to be set free. For Him to be King of Kings in my life means that I am willing to say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven, and to walk it as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what it means for Him to be King of Kings in my life. None of us have attained that yet. But we're being brought to this thing. And I truly believe with all of my heart that you and I are either in the generation or we are ministering to the generation of those that are going to be brought into that. Hallelujah. But I know that we're called to be kings and priests unto this generation. That's our responsibility. Hallelujah. Kingdom of priests, yes. Thank you. Now let's see who's with them. And they that are with Him. Now to be with Him means that we are a follower of Him, as the disciples were. And those that are with Him are three things. Number one, they are called. Number two, they are chosen. And number three, they are faithful. So we see that to be with Christ and to enter into war, whereby Satan is going to be totally defeated, we need to walk in obedience and allow the Father to lead us in, to be called, to be chosen, and to be faithful. And God willing, in the next few minutes, we will look at that. There are so many beautiful patterns of that in the Word of God. So we need to look at this from where we're sitting. No one else can do this for us. And we need to look at our innermost being and say, God, am I called? Am I called and chosen? Or am I called, chosen, and faithful? And what do you want me to do with it? Hallelujah. First of all, let's look at the aspect of being called. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 8. Matthew chapter 22, verse 8. And look at verse 3 and it'll flow better with you. This is the wedding. And it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And it's a calling for people to come into the kingdom of heaven. We'll not get into a study of the kingdom of heaven, but let me tell you, we've been taught that it was streets of gold and gates of pearl and all of these fine things and how we were going to walk up and down it someday. And I'm not teaching against any kind of doctrines, but I'm telling you that it's not a literal street of gold and it's not a literal gate of pearl, but instead it's a spiritual place of dwelling. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Please hear me. And sent forth his servants. The kingdom of heaven is like a king which had a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. A call went forth. A calling went forth. And there were many that wouldn't answer the call. Drop down to verse 8. Then said he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So those that rejected were called not worthy. And the word worthy means we're not suitable to be praised. Hallelujah. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Everybody should say amen to that, but we know what peculiar really means. That means purchased. It doesn't mean odd. Of course, I think some of us are. That now, here is the thing that worthy means. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. So the ones that are worthy to be called have accepted the call that they might show forth the praises of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, that we might show forth his glory, that we might be a walking testimony of the image and the likeness, understand this, of Jesus Christ. You and I have been called to be the fruit of the Spirit in motion in its fullness. Hallelujah, if I may put it that way. We are to be a praise of his glory. And in times past, we were not that type of a person. But now we are a people. Now we are, notice it's a plural here. We are a people who have obtained mercy. We have not obtained a God that's hitting us over the head with a hammer and that's going to drive us into submission where we wallow in the miry clay until we have our arm twisted and say, Uncle. Instead, he is a God of mercy that will minister his loving deliverance power on us to bring us to the stage of his praise of glory. Understand that, Lord. There are people, that's why so many are against deliverance. They don't understand that it's bringing us into the beauty of his glory. It's not God driving us into the ground and saying, you're scum of the earth. The devils in us are ugly. But when they're released, it's precious and beautiful. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to bring that message of understanding to the world. And the only way we can do it is to be set free ourselves. Then we can speak it with authority. And the devils flee. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, we as an individual are one, but we as a corporate body also are called to do this. We must keep reminding ourselves of that. Okay, look at Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. By the way, Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. So we see that there are many that receive the calling. The voice to say, come, come. But there are few that will go on from the calling to the chosen. Because remember, to be in warfare against Satan, you have to accept the call, but you also have to accept the chosen. So we'll go on in a minute. There are many that are called, but there are few that are chosen. Look at Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. And the angel, oops, wrong. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north. saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Let me just sum this up by saying this in my own translation. The Lord is speaking to a people who are dwelling in the midst of the system of the world as far as religion is concerned. It is a rebellious mixture of unholiness with a little dab of holiness put in there to make it taste good. Okay? I want to ask you a question. Don't answer. Just yourself. When you go home, you analyze where you are worshiping and praising the Lord and where you are being fed. And if the fivefold ministries are not allowed to flow through, you're not where God wants you to be. That's a strong statement, and I mean this with all of my heart. I'm not doing this to be a rebel rouser. I'm not doing this to stir up anything, and I'm not identifying a spirit of rebellion here. I'm speaking this with a crying heart. The fivefold ministry is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And they are all flowing. And if you are part of a group where one man is exalting himself above the others, and he's sitting on the throne and he's issuing dictatorial orders, you pray for that one. You dare not come against him. No, touch not the anointed. He's God's business. But you pray for him, and you ask God to place you where he wants you to be, that you might flow as the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is Zion. It is people who are doing warfare against Satan within them, that they might come up into a high place of holiness. And that's what this scripture says. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me, after his glory it means here, hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. So to be a chosen one is to be the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. That means to be a favorite one of God. Hallelujah. So to be chosen brings us into another category. Sure of God comes in on us and starts stirring within, brother, that we know God wants to doing something, is doing something with us. I dare say if there was a showing of hands here this morning, 99% of you would say, I'm not happy in my present situation, in my relationship with God, and I've got a bubbling force from within that's driving me to go on into more of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, isn't that right? It's an unsatisfied thirst. It's a driving hunger. It's a consuming thing. I want meat. I want meat. I want living water. I want more of that living water. Hallelujah. Okay. That's because you're the apple of his eye. And he's ministering to you in that respect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Cindy, don't you give up. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Don't you dare give up. Surrender to him. For behold, in verse 9 it says, I will shake mine hand upon them. They shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. And then we could go on, but we'll get off on another subject. Many are called, but few are chosen. Look at Matthew chapter 24. We've talked a little bit about this, but I want you to understand something. Matthew 24, it talks about 24, verse 24 and 31. It's been referred to several times here. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders. Same thing that happened in Egypt before they exploded. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Look at verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That word elect is the same word as chosen. And it means the ones who are the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. Okay, so we see in the Word of God that there are those that are called to the wedding feast. That means that they've heard the voice of God. Then we see that there are those that are chosen. Not only have they been called to the wedding feast, but they have entered into the wedding feast. They have put on the white robes of righteousness. In other words, they've received the Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're walking and they're speaking in tongues and so on and so forth. But there's still another group in order to qualify to be a warfare. Remember in 14 of Revelation 17. And there are those that are faithful. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. These are the people, and the word faithful could be better translated, they have the God kind of faith in action. The faith of Jesus Christ in action. Hallelujah. I've not attained it yet, Brother Glenn, but I'm getting there. Hallelujah. And he keeps putting me in circumstances where he's bringing me into that. And I keep saying, oh God, why are you doing this to me? Is this a loving God? And he says, yes, because I'm going to teach you to be full of my faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to teach you to be as Jesus Christ. And you're going to hear the voice of the Father. And you're not going to say, but I think it should be this way. Or you're not going to wait until tomorrow and say, I'll cop out and pray about it. But instead you're going to say, I will go. Hallelujah. That's the kind of army that God is training right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's good to shout and talk about it, but we're in training camp. And there's not a whole lot of shouting that can go on there, is there? So we need to shout and look forward to the end sometimes. Look at Revelation 2 and 10. Oh, Lord, stop the clock. There was a group in Smyrna, however you say it. My diction just got friction like my brother's. That's a good... Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I want you to see something here. Number one, Satan is going to be allowed to conquer some of his people for a period of time. And this is in Scripture. And he's going to hold us in bondage for a while. And the Lord says, it is in that time you're going to be cast into a prison. If any of you have ever been cast into a prison, you'll know that amongst the things that happens to you, all of your freedom is taken away from you. You have no rights and privileges. And you are given clothing that is foreign to you. And you all wear the same type of clothing. So what the Lord is saying here is, or if not the same type, it's a foreign type thing. And you don't have the, they take away your ability, or they try to even think for yourself. And you're in a place of foreignness where you can hardly handle it. You understand what I mean? It's a place of great turmoil. And they try to make you believe that while you're dwelling in that place of prison, that they are doing you some good. And ultimately, if you're kept in that place of prison long enough, it becomes security to you. And if you're released on parole after 40 years, sometimes you'd rather be back in prison than out because of the security. I know there was a time in the mental institution when I was there that the security was so great, and as I started to get better, I was afraid to go out into the world because of the protection of the mental institution and the security that was in there. And it was a whole new ballgame to go out again. You see, that's how the evil forces work too. They want us to trust into anything but God. So that's what that prison chamber is like. And the Lord says, you will be in there that ye may be tried. We must remember that he knows our limits. And God will not allow Satan to minister unto us with his trial of tribulation beyond what we can take. Hallelujah. You need to remember that. Now, I don't know my breaking point. If I knew it, I'd go beyond it and break. So God ministers to me and allows me to go to my breaking point, and then he stops it. He knows your breaking point. Rejoice in that. You see, by faith, we must accept that God will not push us beyond the breaking point. Oh, bless the Lord for that. We'd all be in the loony farm. Isn't that right? And during this time, we're going to be in a tribulation type matter of 10 days. Look with me at Daniel chapter 1. I remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all those fellers. And they didn't want to eat of the king's food. They were in a foreign place. They were in prison. Isn't that right? All of their rights were taken away. But they had the hand of God on them, didn't they? They had the anointing of God on them. They had God walking with them. And they were going to set an example of what being faithful was. Look at verse 11 and on. Then said Daniel to Melzar, who the prince of eunuchs had set over Daniel and those other ones. Verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. Pulse is a type of the Holy Spirit. The water is a type of the living water of Jesus Christ and the cleansing power. 10 is a number of the proving of God's perfect law, of God's perfect will in your life, amongst other things. So what this means is that the Lord is going to allow His people who are striving to be full of the God kind of faith to enter into situations where the enemy is going to come upon them, and they are going to have to prove that God is their deliverer, the soul deliverer, and there is no other power that can set them free. And you see, drugs and alcohol, and I'm not hung up on this, but I'm seeing it, is a curse that is placed upon a nation for disobedience. And drugs and alcohol are one of the predominant curses in this world. And there is no deliverance that can happen except it be from the power of God, from drugs and alcohol. AA is a good program and Drugs Anonymous is a good program, and that's just what it is. But I'll tell you, the authority and the delivering of God is the only answer. And this is what Satan must recognize, and he's going to use his Christians, the Lord is. He's going to allow them to be in situations that are so full of darkness that we're going to think that we're in a hopeless prison. And the Lord is going to minister unto us. And we're going to draw power from the Holy Spirit. And the cleansing power of God is going to be so mighty upon us. And His light is going to be so bright that we're going to stand before the enemy, and he's going to countenance doth shine because the glory of the Lord is upon us, and the enemy is going to be slain. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 May I say, this was the thing that opened my eyes to the fact that rapture couldn't be. I was raised on rapture. I preached more glory hallelujah sermons on rapture. You know, you can get a crowd shouting, stomping, running for joy. And I'm not coming against you. I'm not, please understand. And I even use one of the great proponents of the rapture theory. I use his Bible to study from. But not those notes. But we must understand. It's a teaching that's trying to lead us astray. It's got an element of truth with it. A smattering of truth. But God's people are sent to be a light in a dark area. Why would God make light to shine in light? That's silly. And if we're going to sit at a banqueting table with Jesus Christ, He's the greatest light, why would we even bring a light up there? I mean, that's silliness. Well, let me get back on the subject. I just pray for you to have understanding. I don't want to meddle. Now let's go on to another pattern. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll skip over some of this. You see, the tabernacle is also a pattern. Now, I'm not going to preach the scriptures for you to look them up, but I'm just going to tell you the story. Because you need to understand this. Because through all of this, you're going to find where your calling is. Remember the day you got saved. Jesus Christ is the one that saved you. Isn't that right? Now, you know, man, how many times haven't we been frustrated? We go up and witness to someone. We lay hands on someone. We do all the heebie-jeebies and the hails and all of those things, and the person doesn't get saved. You know, it is the power of God that saves. I can't control it. Isn't that right? So let's go back to that day for a minute. There was someone standing at the gate of the courtyard of the tabernacle. And he came from the Holy of Holies. And he came through the holy place. And he came to the courtyard and walked through it. And he went to the gate. And he shouted at the gate. And he called you by your name. And no one else knew that voice was calling but you. Oh, many of us would say God is working on him, God is convicting him and everything else. But in our innermost being, it's a new name that God, it's a new image that God is calling us to. And it's a new name that he's going to write with his image. And he's calling and he's saying to you, won't you come to the gate and enter in with me? Now, the Father never gets behind and pushes and kicks and prods. But instead, the Father reaches out with a hand of mercy. And as he stood there at the gate and we hearkened to his call, hallelujah, oh, glory to the Lord. The first place he takes us to is the brazen altar, and we're delivered from original sin and sin nature, and we become a new person. Hallelujah. The second place we go to is the brazen laver, and our walk life is anointed. The priest would put his thumb and his toe in there, symbolic of his life being changed and a testimony that he was going on. And we were baptized. We proclaimed the new image of Christ. And there's so much in all of this teaching that we won't get into. But then we came to a place that was covered. And it was called the tabernacle. And it was covered with blue and scarlet and purple and linen coverings. And as we stood there looking at it, there was a door that we had to go through. And there were four posts, I believe it was, holding up that door. And as we looked at that, the Holy Spirit starts to minister to us. And we realize that the blue stands for the anointing. The scarlet stands for death to self. The purple for the kingly authority. And the linen stands for righteousness. And all of a sudden, the Father was reaching out and saying, come on, there's more to salvation than just salvation. There's the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is the chosen people, the apple of his eye, the ones that receive the Holy Spirit. And there's many are called, many are in that courtyard experience where they've come to the gate and they believe in Jesus Christ. And they have Christ in their heart. But there are few that are chosen. And they're the ones that are going to go on marching. And we enter into the presence of God. And we pick up the beautiful gifts of the Spirit. However, I find something here that frightens me, people. I touched on it the other night. And I need to share it again. Remember, Nimrod paraded before the Lord with his rebellion. And man has walked into the holy place, picked up the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Isn't that right? So we have the ability to speak in tongues. We have the ability to prophesy. We have the ability to work miracles. We have the ability to understand the Word and all that goes with in the holy place. And I don't want to get into it. But we forget that we must go on to the golden altar with those gifts and surrender them unto God. And what has happened is there is a group of people who are chosen and they're playing with the gifts of the Spirit and they're subject to the flesh and they're subject to the power of Satan and they're deceiving the world and they're going to become a part of the Antichrist system. Oh, people, we got to be careful of this. You see, the gift of prophecy, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of working of miracles, the New Age can do it now in the name of God. They can say it. But is it real? On and on it goes. It was just like that in the days of Egypt. So you see, they're playing with fire. Strange fire much of the time. And God is saying to a people now, you know, the Father loves us so much. He allowed us to even go through that experience. But he said, come a little further. I've got a golden altar. Well, every time I see the word altar, I cringe because it means purging again. And you know, we had a brother back home that taught it so well. He said, we're like a bucking bull. And when we smell death, we snort and we pull against that rope. And we want to run the other way. We don't want to get anywhere near where there's a smell of death. Isn't that right? But it requires the Father to gently reach out with His rope of love, with His cord of love, that life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The umbilical cord that's attached to the heavenly God, the Father. And He ministers His life through that umbilical cord unto us. And He pulls us gently unto Him. And we lay at the golden altar, which covers wood, which means the nature of Christ. And we are sold out and we enter in to the mercy seat of God, where the presence of Jesus Christ is and the Shekinah glory is. And there is no other thing, nothing of flesh. Now that's where Jesus came from when He called me and you at the gate. And now He's calling us to come there. And when the priests entered there, they put on special garments. Hallelujah. And the garments typified the very nature of Jesus Christ in His holiness. And they communed with the Lord. They took their censer and they put the coals from the golden altar. And they took the incense and they sprinkled it on there. And it was a sweet savor offering. And I saw that in Linda this morning and it blessed me so much. She was making a sweet savor offering unto the Lord. And we were following the Holy Spirit's leading through her. And as we entered into the presence of the mercy seat, it is there where the power of God will issue a call to you and say where you belong in the body of Christ. And it's from that position that we take on the nature of Christ and we walk through the holy place and we pick up the gifts of the Spirit with the gold nature covering us. And we go past the laver with the gold nature covering us. And we go to the gate and we minister as the Lord would have us minister with the gold nature covering us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, there's going to be many works tried and tested. There's going to be many that fall. God have mercy upon them because they're ministering from the holy place rather than the holy of holies. They're ministering from the place where they think it should be. That's why there has to be the cry for the money. That's why there has to be the cry and the many pleas for the programs, etc. Because it's not covered by the gold of God. Please understand and pray for those that they might enter into His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, very quickly, and I'll try to wrap this up. Turn with me. Did we already? Isaiah 6? We never got to it yet. The conditions of the world were as such. And then we'll close. We're just not going to get to where I wanted to. That's all right, Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year, verse 1, the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a man who was born. His dad's name was Amaziah, and it meant Jehovah has strength. His mother's name was Jechaliah, and it means Jehovah is able. And Uzziah had another name, which was Azariah. I don't expect you to remember all this, but it's kind of interesting. And the name Uzziah and Azariah means the strength of Jehovah and Jehovah aids. In other words, Uzziah was a type of the Holy Spirit in action if it were New Testament. Okay? It was the gifts of the Spirit in action. However, he had some problems. In 2 Kings 15:3 and 4, it says that he didn't take down the high places. In other words, he allowed a mixture of flesh to enter in. He allowed a mixture of rebellion. He allowed a mixture of idol worship. While he was encouraging worship to God, he had a compassionate heart, and he said, well, if you want to keep those places, I suppose it's all right. You see, God is a just God, a holy God, and He does not bend. And somehow, yes, He's a jealous God. Thank you, sister. And somehow we've got the attitude, and we've allowed Satan to minister to us, that God is so much of a God of love that His love is wishy-washy. And it's not. His love is holy and perfect and righteous. And you know, if there's ever one thing I learned in raising my kids, 3 I made a mistake and 1 I pray I didn't. The one I didn't with, I didn't get wishy-washy in my love. And the 3 that I did, I'm having problems with. Oh, God. Whole message in that. Half a dozen of them, yeah. Maybe I should retire and go home and try over. There's another thing that Uzziah did. He wasn't happy with all of his prosperity in his calling as king. And he was blessed. I mean, he was blessed beyond blessings. He would have been the chief of the faith guys. Forgive me, Lord. But I mean, you know, the blabbit and grabbit guys. He would have been chief of them. And God was blessing him abundantly. And I'm not against that. There's some excellent lessons in that. And I just put my foot in my mouth. God forgive me. There is. I'm thankful for their teaching. I learned so much from it. But anyhow, he wasn't satisfied. And so he decided he wanted to be a priest. And he went in and he made offerings unto God. And all the elders gathered around his spiritual guiding. And they said, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll bring death. That's not pleasing to God. And he didn't listen to the spiritual guiding. See, there was a remnant of 24 elders in Revelation, symbolic of a group of first fruits, and on, who are going to be ministering more and more to a people who have got the Holy Spirit, who are allowing their flesh to enter in, and they're putting their hand into the things of God, and they're not happy with their calling in God, and they want to do someone else's function, and they're creating strange fire unto God. And Uzziah died with leprosy, which is a type of sin. It was a death-causing thing. God struck him with it. Okay? So that was the condition of the world at that time. And Isaiah came on the scene, and he was at the place of the mercy seat. Now, in verse 4 of chapter 6, it says, the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The posts of the door stand for, and it's a feminine term, and it stands for the church exploding out. And it is symbolic of the church travailing before God, crying out before God, and the glory of the Lord coming in. And God is looking, and I've heard it so many times this weekend, I wanted to share on it, of people that are willing to stand in the gap, of people who are not like Peter, James, and John that fell asleep in the garden while Jesus was interceding and pressing in. But instead, he's looking for a people who are going to go into the garden with Christ, with the power of Christ, and they're going to press in to the fullness of his glory. And that requires much agonizing. And the glory of the Lord will come in and cause the posts, the glory of the Lord, to press out. Hallelujah. Symbolic of the body of Christ. Oh, praise be to God. And as this happens, and as you enter to the mercy seat, and I saw this brother, and this is precious. This is precious. This is in no way an ugly thing. It's beautiful. Every one of us are entering into this experience. Isaiah cried out, and he said, woe is me. I am an undone person. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King. In other words, the authority of God has become reality to me. He is the master of this world. He is the master of every principality and power. He is in charge of all things. And I have gotten that intimate knowledge of Him. And oh my God, I can't bear it. I can't bear to see your face. I'm unclean. That's when you know your calling is start to becoming reality. That's when you know that the power of the ministry that God has called you to is starting to come forth. Oh, body of Christ, hear me. God is dealing with us at the mercy seat. Don't be satisfied with the gifts of the Spirit in the holy place, but instead bathe them with the nature of Christ as you come from the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Minister under the beauty of His holiness, not under the beauty of my flesh, for it stinketh. Oh, God. And deliverance came. Then flew one of the seraphims, a messenger of deliverance, having a live coal, that's fire, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, the golden altar now, the ultimate purification of flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, I want that people, don't you? I want the nature of Christ to come forth in me. Oh, we need to cry more and more, Jesus, come forth in me. Touch me. with the coals of fire, O Lord. I don't invite trials, O God, but I desperately desire your nature. I desperately desire the beauty of your holiness, O God. And this doesn't come with a 5-minute prayer. This comes with hours and hours of intercessory prayer, of crying for God. Days go on to weeks, on to months, into years. Oh God, will we never attain? It's in His power we will attain in His time. Thank God it's not in our power. Oh, we'd destroy it. We'd mess it up and it would bring death. But you see, God is a God of deliverance and He delivers according to His time. Because He says if He drove out the enemy all at once, the enemy would slay us. We couldn't handle it. Oh, glory to God. Be happy where you're at today. And let tomorrow take care of itself. I can't handle tomorrow yet today. That's what the Lord is saying. And He'll prepare me tomorrow. Hallelujah. And as the lips were touched, He was delivered from His uncleanness. Our lips are being touched here, and I thank God for this camp. I thank God for the courage it takes to stand up for deliverance. You are being sent as angels, as messengers. You are being sent forth, and you're asked to go forth with the wisdom of God now. And to ask God, make me a vessel of light to bring the deliverance power message and to bring the reality of deliverance to those, God, who are really seeking for it but don't understand it. Hallelujah. And that doesn't always mean our method, but we find out the method at the mercy seat and let God do the deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And then, and only then, are we worthy of hearing the calling of God. Every one of you got a calling in the body of Christ. Oh, how I wish we could get into that. Some are called to the fivefold. All are called to a function in the body of Christ. There is not one greater or less than the other. And you are called according to the measure of your faith that you have today. So you are adequate today in your calling. You are not inadequate today. You are adequate. Hallelujah! You're adequate today! Praise be to God! Oh, according to the measure of your faith, so should you minister, the Word says. Praise be to God. Okay. And Isaiah, he replied. And he said, I hear your voice, Lord. He's at the mercy seat. Hear my God, I'm ready. I have the boldness to stand up because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've come to the throne of grace. I have the confidence of knowing that I'm delivered from the ugly things. And I can go forward today with what you have. Here am I. Send me. Hallelujah. Peter and John were walking, and I'm ending with this. There's so much more to share. I got a message to bring on excuses. I wish we had all day. But let me tell you, Peter and John were walking by the temple gate, beautiful. And there was the lame man there from birth. Jesus had entered in many times. For some reason, the Father didn't say to Jesus, touch that man and heal him. Peter and John came by one day. I think it was Peter and John, wasn't it? And suddenly the Holy Spirit directed their attention. And the eye contact of the power of God brought the lame man to their attention and vice versa. And the lame man was looking for physical, natural help. I would have been too. And Peter and John, if it was me, I would have reached back here and said, I don't have any cash, but I'll sign my wife's name to a bad check. Here it is. No, not really. But I would have said, there's Salvation Army down the street. They'll help you, brother. Or let me get a program started to help you, brother. And I'd have got on the phone and I called all my Christian friends and we'd have had a fundraiser for this guy. And I got in the newspaper and I'd have been a great guy for helping that poor guy. Peter and John, representative of the authority of the body of Christ, they realized silver and gold I don't have. People were being brought to the point of the Israelites in the desert when their provision run out. Hear me, please, hear me. And their silver and gold was worth nothing in the desert but to build an idol with.
And finally it was converted to build a temple. And it belonged to the Gentiles. And God's going to build a temple with the money of the sinners in this age even. But until we come to that time, we're going to be brought to a time of faithfulness where we have total dependence on Him, where we must subsist and exist off the manna of God, and our shoes will not wear out, and our garments will not get holes in it, and we're going to be brought to that level of faith to walk in it, hallelujah, so that we might say as Peter and John did, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have I give. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Such as I have, I give today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Woo! Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Holotorium. Father, I pray, help us, Father. Help the cooks back there. Be patient for a minute. Oh. Thank Lord when heaven comes when we don't have to fight this clock. But Lord, and now we got some serious business to do. We all are going to be separating and go our separate ways for a while, Lord. We've got cleansed. We've gotten cleansed in many areas, but we need also to be a bearer of your light. We have been called to be ministers of reconciliation. Father, by faith, I'm asking for you to minister anointing power on this group today. Oh, I sense it. I would ask each of you by faith, if you want to know the perfect will of God for your life, I've never done this, but we're going to do it. I believe it. You reach out towards heavenly. You see, with your hands outstretched, that's an act of submission unto God. And I want you to, by faith, acknowledge that He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings of your life. And we're going to ask God for you to become faithful, for me to become faithful, to have the faith of God. Oh, Lord. Pray out loud with me, please. Now, I know that we've not attained, but it's by faith that we go on into the promised land. Moses went forth by faith. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you with faith that needs to be strengthened. I believe we are in your presence, even as at the mercy seat. Thank you for the rent veil. And Father, we come in Jesus' name. Please give me the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage in my life and in other lives. Please hear my cry and give me the call that I might say, here am I, send me, send me. I desire to be holy. Bathe me with your presence. Touch me with your cleansing power and anoint me to go forth with the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in evidence, that I might be called, chosen, and faithful to march at your side. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.